Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
I'm happy to be a White Sox. I just continue to make good starts for them until I'm told otherwise.
Is that on your mind at all as you're kind of here seeing the other talents or hearing things or anything like that as you play through the rest of the month?
No, not necessarily. It's something I'm aware of for sure, but I can't focus on it right now because that's not where I am.
Every year you probably get a better hand on it. Like the way that you just described what you're going through now is good. But when you're maybe first year or a minor leaguer, it's probably tough, right?
Yeah, definitely. I remember my first year we traded Hoyer and Madrigal, who were both good buddies of mine, for Kimbrel at the deadline. And yeah, that was a tough thing to accept for sure. But at the same time, everyone always says it's a business. It's just something that, you got to get over and move on.
Garrett Crochet on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast talking about the trade speculation surrounding him. Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse on a beautiful Saturday morning in Chicago. David Haw, Bruce Levine. Until
easy for you to say.
11 o'clock here on the Score. Time now to go out to the Score hotline sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today where we find our friend from USA Today, Bob Nightingale. Good morning, Bob.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Waiting for the next 10 days anxiously to see what the White Sox will do and when they will start. Chris Getz has a big job ahead, a lot of interest in many players, starting with Garrett Crochet. We heard him at the All-Star game, Bob. I just wonder, as we sit here this morning, we know how many teams could be interested. Realistically, how many teams are?
I mean, I would think even when it goes to the final few days, you're still talking about 8 or 10 teams that will make serious offers. I mean, bottom line is everybody wants this guy because he's not making money. You get him for, 2 more years and, obviously having an unbelievable season. So you're hoping he can do the same thing for the next 2 years. So, no, I mean, he's the number one, trade guy on the board. I don't think he's even a close second, providing Tarik Skubal isn't available.
Bob, when you talk about packages, so David and I spent an early portion of our show talking about the fact that the White Sox can trade him to somebody else in the offseason as well, and still the other team has 2 years left and proof that he got through this season and got 150 innings in, and that there's more reliability moving forward. Where do you think the White Sox get more back, at this trade deadline here or in the offseason?
I think more at the deadline, because some teams are saying, you know what, we can certainly use this guy in the bullpen in October, and we'll see how many starts he can make. And bottom line is, you know, even Crochet said this at the All-Star break, is that, you know, who knows? Maybe I could throw 200 innings and be fine. You know, you just don't, you know how that's going to work. But I think teams are looking, you know what, everybody needs a reliever in October. Those guys are more viable than the starters. So I think teams like the Yankees are saying, you know what, we really want this guy, you know, pitching in late inning relief for us.
Is it more realistic to expect a team to trade for Crochet to use him in that role? I think when we look at his emergence this year, many of us in Chicago, Bob, have been surprised at just how good he has been as a starter every fifth day, because he had never done it before. So I wonder, is that the appeal, that he's a good starting pitcher that you can count on in September, or is it more appealing to use him in a variety of ways out of the bullpen?
Probably in a variety of ways. I mean, you can start him, you know, maybe up until September. You know, I know he'd like to have a contract extension, whoever acquires him. That way he doesn't have to worry about an injury. I mean, there's already a plan in place with the White Sox and Crochet's people, you know, as far as limiting, you know, severely limiting his innings the second half. And so I would think when he gets traded, you know, he's going to ask that team to do the same thing, you know, respect his arm, you know, a little bit like a Josh Hader thing, when Hader wasn't making, you know, big money, and he says, hey, I'm not pitching, you know, multiple innings for you anymore. I'm just, you know, one inning and out. So if Crochet wants, you know, he can do the same type of thing and say, okay, I got this many innings left on my arm. You use me how you want.
Just about every rumor mill, every expert in baseball, we're hearing about the pitching available, and very few, if any, hitters that are going to be available of any significance during up until the deadline. Could Luis Robert be that surprise guy? We know about people's hesitation to take on the 3 years of his contract because of the fact that he's been injured twice. But is that upside worth the gamble for some teams in a market in particular that lacks impact hitters available?
No, you're right. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I was you know, thinking he was not going to be traded. I don't think they were getting much interest. But not, just like you said, Bruce, with the scarcity of the market, now interest is a lot higher than I think even the White Sox imagine. And they would like to load that contract, too. So so I do think he'll get moved now. I think they'll get, you know, more than they think. If they're not, you know, you can always keep him. You know, a little bit different than Bellinger, where I think Bellinger's contract scares people. Like, well, you know, if he doesn't opt out, do we really want to get stuck with $54 million over 2 years? So, you know, a little different than Robert. It's like, okay, you know, we'll pay that money and hopefully he stays healthy, but it's still a hindrance. I think that's why the White Sox want to move him so much, just because of that money left in the books.
We're talking with Bob Nightingale from USA Today here and Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So, Bob, the All-Star game everybody saw, Mason Miller hit 103. On the radar gun, goodness sakes. And I wonder how many teams were like, yeah, I want one of those. And I think the A's are like, well, yeah, good luck meeting our price. Is there a price? Is he being shopped? And if so, how expensive would Mason Miller be, just asking for a friend who might work for the Cubs?
Yeah, he's too, I think, too expensive. I mean, they're asking for the moon for him, so that, you know, they don't expect to trade him. I mean, they have to take just a ton of top 10 prospects to move a guy like that. But, you know, I mean, the A's will listen. You know, it's almost like when Kevin Towers was the GM of the Padres, he says, hey, you make offers for Tony Gwynn, make offers for Trevor Hoppen. I'll listen. If I won't move him, but it'd be stupid not to listen. And I think that's what the A's, they're doing that same approach.
So 3 weeks ago, Bob, it was, I was talking to scout friends, some executives. They said the Cubs are definitely sellers, okay? They went on a little run. They got back some of their credibility a little closer to the wild card pack. What do you hear now Cubs sellers or buyers? And if they are sellers, who is available at this point?
I think they don't make decisions in like the last 72 hours, what to do. 72 hours before July 30th. I think they're probably leaning towards sellers. I would think certainly James and Tyon would be perfect. And then, then you see what people will offer for Bellinger and some of those guys. But I don't think they made their mind up yet. It's so much mediocrity in the National League. It's kind of silly to give up. And everybody looks at what happened last year with the Diamondbacks. You really squeak in the playoffs. Next thing you know, you're in the World Series.
Danny Jansen would be a rental at the catching position that the Cubs really need some help at. You mentioned him as a possibility. What would it take to get somebody like that?
I don't think, that much. Maybe a it's only a top 15 prospect. Top 10. But a I don't think that much for him. It's just a it's not like he's a premier guy. Nice catcher. So, if they want to do that, it's not, not like you're breaking up your farm system by any means.
So I'm hearing the same thing on Diaz from Colorado. Are you, is he going to get moved here? Is it going to take a top 10 prospect for Diaz, who will be a free agent as well?
I would think maybe two of the top 20. No, I wouldn't say anybody in the top 10, just, his expiring contract, good, solid player. But, too, you're talking about a guy who was hitting at Coors Field. Now you're bringing him a different environment. So a great, terrific guy, beloved by the pitchers there and in the coaching staff. So that would be a great pickup for a short-term rental. And, if you like him enough, go ahead and extend him. He's a really, really well-liked in that clubhouse.
Bob, Chris Guest has not had the job as general manager of the White Sox for an entire calendar year yet. And the next 10 days will dictate how his next year goes. Big time for the young White Sox general manager, first time on the job. If I said four was the number of players, would you say over or under? That is how would you take the over or under in terms of how many players the White Sox will deal between now and July 30th?
I would say over. I think they can move on everybody if they want. But I would be surprised if it's under that for sure. I mean, get the most obviously with Crochet and Fede, throw in Robert Street right there. They're going to move, Pham and DeYoung, it's five, and then need more guys than that. So, no, I think you'll have a lot of guys move from that team.
That's a shuttle. That's a South Side shuttle somewhere. that's a lot of players.
Bob, you were at the All-Star game. The commissioner talked. The most important thing I think he talked about was Major League Baseball trying to gather all their local broadcasts and come up with a streaming plan that they can monetize for baseball, maybe much like the NFL. Was he encouraged? Were you encouraged by that ability? Because this is the biggest issue in baseball moving toward the next collective bargaining agreement as to whether or not there'll be a long strike and whether or not the economics in baseball between players and owners changes dramatically.
I think he thinks he'd get, maybe 20 teams, low 20s under that umbrella. But, I don't think there'll ever be a time where you can say, okay, Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, maybe throw the Cubs in that group, that, okay, you're going to share the same money as a Milwaukee Brewers or Colorado Rockies, that sort of thing. So I can't see the big boys saying, "Hey, I'll share equal rights," like they do with the with their website, MLB.com. But I think it'll be a I think you get around 20 teams at least agree to that.
But doesn't this go back to the revenue sharing premise that Bud Selig came up with 25 years ago? The fact that if there aren't enough revenues for the Kansas City broadcast or the Oakland broadcast or the Vegas broadcast at that time, you'll run out of partners. Those teams will cease to be able to function on the same level. Is there an argument to be made in that area?
Well, there is, you know, and we saw that this offseason where, you know, Minnesota Twins cut back because they knew they're going to have TV problems. Even the Texas Rangers, who had, you know, spent wildly over the years, you know, they watched their budget because they weren't going to have a TV thing. Padres now are, you know, staying under the luxury tax because of that. But, yeah, I mean, that's a problem. But, of course, you know, hey, you bought those teams for low money. And, you know, you're not paying, you know, you're not paying like they did for the Dodgers and the Red Sox in recent years.
Before we let you go, Bob, David Ross's name came up because John Lester's in town doing some work for Marquee, and obviously their connection historically in Chicago is tight forever. David Ross, as a manager this season, he's not working. He's getting paid by the Cubs, probably having a very stress-free summer. Next year, do you think that David Ross will be in a dugout somewhere as a manager?
I do. You know, I know it's kind of been joked around and stuff. I think the fact that they, you know, Cubs are under 500, you know, with Craig Counsell, it's like, you know, so it's almost saying, hey, this is not the manager's fault. It's not like, hey, they went crazy and there's 30 games above 500. Now that David Ross is gone. If anything, I actually think it helps his resume. I think it's going to be easier for him to get a job in the off season. Because people say, you know, see what happened to Cubs. It was not David Ross's fault.
How about David Ross to the Red Sox and Alex Cora to the Rangers after Bochy retires after this season?
Yeah, I don't know where Cora will end up. I mean, he's gonna be the hot commodity, and so I think a lot of teams are gonna look and say, okay, you know, can we fit him in? Are we gonna fire a guy? You know, just like the Cubs did. You know, it's a cutthroat business. But I think he manages next year somewhere. I'm not sure he's going to wait for Bochy. You don't know if you're waiting for, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years type of thing. So, but that being said, I'm not sure where he's going. But I'd be stunned right now, you know, if he stays in Boston, unless they come up with a, you know, a big-time offer and also tell him that, hey, we're going to really try to win here and spend money. Because right now he told the Red Sox, hey, I don't want to talk about a deal, just like Counsell did, you know, with the Brewers.
Bob, your Sunday Notes columns are must-read in Chicago. What's tomorrow's going to have?
Probably just storylines for the second half. You know, talking about every time with the, you know, trade deadline and, you know, what to expect. It'll be interesting. I mean, you know, the Dodgers, you know, all that money they spent, it looked like the same team as the past. It's like, and they're really going to get on the first round. And they got all these pitching problems. You know, Yankees look like the best team in baseball. Now they're not. You know, Philadelphia now has bullpen problems. So I think with the Diamondbacks did last year and the Texas Rangers, it gives everybody hope, like, just get in the playoffs, anything crazy can happen.
Great stuff, Bob. Appreciate your time. Keep up the great work. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Enjoy Cooperstown this weekend. Say hi to all our friends, okay?
I will. Thanks, Bruce. See you, David.
Bob Nightingale from USA Today, as plugged in as anybody on the Chicago baseball scene, because he gets stuff and information. And Bruce, I think that a lot of people heard him say very quickly, more than four players could be leaving the White Sox in the next 10 days. And that would create a lot of headlines, a lot of activity. And I think it would...
And a lot of new players for the Chicago White Sox.
A lot of new players. They need them. They do need them.
I think the one thing about trades for a team that's like moving their players, I think we in the media fan bases forget you're getting guys back.
Mm-hmm.
They might be good. A guy like Thorpe, he's a pretty good looking player.
He looks the part.
Last year when the White Sox made a trade before Kenny and Rick left, they got Corey Lee. Looks like a pretty good catcher, okay? Got a future ahead of him. So be optimistic about guys that can come in here and make a change in your team.
How active do you think the White Sox will be? 312-644-6767. How long will Jameson Taillon be in the Cubs rotation? Bruce says that there are teams interested in him, the Yankees and the Red Sox among them. Also, we need to get to this, Bruce, when we come back. Alex Cora going to be a free agent. You want to get Bruce Bochy out the door, and you want to put Alex Cora in Texas. He's going to be sought by many teams ready to win. The White Sox aren't one of those teams ready to win, but why not Chicago? Why not the Sox if you have a free agent manager of that caliber. We'll talk about it next. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Guys, he certainly doesn't want to trade. One is Luis Robert. The other is Garrett Crochet, not necessarily in that order. But if you overwhelm them with something, then you have to listen to it. You have to entertain that idea if you want to make your club better. That being said, I don't think that that they're going to trade Crochet.
Steve Stone, a couple weeks ago with the Mullen Haw Show. Good guys in that morning show, 5:30 to 10 every day right here on The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine here until 11 talking baseball. Garrett Crochet will be the object of a lot of conversation and speculation before the trade deadline on July 30th already has, Bruce. Before we get to some of the details, you raised an interesting point during the break. Do fans get fed up and tired of hearing one rumor after another, especially if we get to July 31st and, oh, look, there's Garrett Crochet still in a White Sox uniform?
Well, it's a credibility factor. I still hear from people saying, hey, you remember when you said, you know, the Cubs were going to trade Sean Dunstan or, you know, some things like that. And it's like, I'm always very cognizant of anything I report because I do feel there's a responsibility to be right. You have to be right in your reporting that they're talking about it, okay? You can't just throw it against the wall. I think there's a lot of things thrown against the wall at this point in time. Again, when Ohtani was on an airplane going to Toronto in the winter, I wasn't upset with the reporter as much as I was upset about people will continue to question our credibility as reporters for something as erroneous and as big news as that wasn't.
It is murky, and yeah, it is difficult as it ever has been to trust information because of all the skepticism. And so, but there's a difference between questioning the information and disagreeing with an opinion. We welcome the disagreement, the conversation, the debate. That's the fun stuff. That's why we're here. Like we're getting on the text line, what we're getting to callers, and also on Twitter or X, as they say. Haw is sounding like a homer, I'm told. He needs to accept that the Cubs are not good this year and they should sell. A soft buy doesn't do anything for them.
Doesn't sound like a Cub fan.
Doesn't sound like a Cub fan.
No.
Sounds like a Sox fan. Let me have it. That's fine. All right, speaking of the Sox, before we get to some of the trade possibilities, Alex Cora from the Red Sox, as we heard from Bob Nightingale, probably going to be a free agent manager, unlikely to go back to Boston. I asked the question because we are in Chicago. This is a Chicago baseball show. The Cubs don't need a manager. The White Sox could and likely will. Is it realistic to think that Alex Cora could be the object of the White Sox pursuit in the offseason?
Did you say Terry Francona?
No, but I love that speculation. That would be cool.
I'll start our own, okay? All right. Terry Francona sitting at home in Tucson, Arizona, wondering, you know, can he continue his career? He's had a lot of health issues. He's a Hall of Fame manager. In 5 years from now, if he doesn't manage again. Mm-hmm. A great connection with the White Sox from the 90s when he started his career after he retired as a player and became part of the White Sox minor league organization.
South Bend White Sox at the time.
Managed a pretty famous basketball player at Birmingham.
Yeah. Number 23, Jordan. I believe. Yeah.
He would be a perfect match, I think, for the White Sox because his history of development with the Indians was yearly. Every single year it was, the Indians aren't going to compete this year. They didn't spend any money. They don't have any big name players. They don't have much offense. They continue to promote pitchers, more pitchers, but they're not going to, and every year, Terry Francona brought in a team that was in the playoffs or...
Always found a way.
Over 500.
Always found a way. He was definitely a guy that found a way. All right.
So, again, will Cora come here? You know, I mean, I think they would listen. I think they want to listen to and see the plan. I don't think any manager wants to go somewhere and understand that for 3 years, they might be in a rebuild. But somebody with the history and the
gravitas
is the right word of Francona or Acora, they might have a different idea about how to look at it.
Chris Getz is busy. He's got the trades to make. He's got more than four players to move. We'll come up with his short list now because Pedro Grifol likely will be ex-manager Pedro Grifol, I would think, after the season. So my short list would be Francona, Alex Cora, Skip Schumacher. And that would be, as I would think that the White Sox would be smart to start there. Would they pay each of those managers whatever they would have to pay to get them to come to the South
Side? Great question. I'll throw in Leland.
Which one?
Patrick Leland.
Yeah, there we go.
The son of
I knew what you were doing there,
Jim
Bruce.
Leland,
you know what? I know you get up early, but so do I. So do I.
Patrick Leland is a well-thought-of minor league manager in the Chicago White Sox system, somebody that people should keep their eye on, not because he's Jim Leland's son, mm-hmm. but he's considered a top baseball man that's been with the White Sox for a while. So which way do you want to go? Do you want a veteran manager, David, who's won before, which sounds really important to run your team, or do you want a young guy that's grown with these players once they get to the major league level?
It's the right way to frame it. I want credibility and respectability and the gravitas that you have to pay for. I also wonder this before we get to the phone lines, Bruce. What effect will the Cubs paying $8 million a year for Craig Counsell if they miss the playoffs? What effect could that have on the managerial market and what Alex Cora can be in a position to command? Because a lot of people will look at, hey, look at the Cubs. They spent $40 million on a guy in investment and they didn't even make the playoffs.
True. I mean, if you want to generalize, that's what they're going to say. But on the other hand, it's not over till it's over.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, I mean.
So, who's the homer now?
I think, here's what I think of Craig Counsell. The first month of the season when the Cubs were teetering with Milwaukee up and back at first place, there were many games that I looked at and I would text Coom or I would text Zach Zaidman and I go, how did the Cubs win that game? Okay. So, I think his managing has had an impact. I think the Cubs, in essence, have been much worse than the actual record is.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And it's a hard thing to say.
Yeah, they have really stunk. They've been disappointing. There's no way around it.
And so other than starting pitching, there's nothing that's been right about the Chicago Cubs most of the year. Some of the bullpen guys were really good early on before they started to get hurt. The hitting has been awful all the way around the entire season. There's other than Hap getting really hot and winning some games with three-run homers, hasn't been anybody that's really carried the Cubs or said, jump on my back, you know, let's go. Up until recent, like, three-week push where, as we talked about, the guys started to get better. But been a huge disappointment.
Back in action tonight, Cubs, Diamondbacks, Kyle Hendricks on the mound, continuing that series from Wrigley. The Score will have the only local broadcast of the game, pregame coverage right here, 5:40, with Zach setting the scene. First pitch, 6:15 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. Let's go out to the Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Mike is in Northbrook. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, called to talk about the Sox trade thing, but a little thing. Don't the Cubs this year kind of remind you of the 2022 White Sox, who were supposed to win their division and were very disappointing and mediocre and were falling apart and were actually hanging around until a series at Sox Park late in August where Cleveland beat them, like, I think 3 out of 4, and then ever since that point, everything's been downhill. But this Cup team kind of reminds me of that a little bit. You know, like, they went into the season, looked great, supposed to win the division, and a lot of disappointment. But anyhow, getting back to the Sox trade thing, okay, so here's the deal, you know, the Crochet thing. Okay, the guy's a hell of a good-looking pitcher. He's looked really great for 3.5 months. He's 24, top-round draft pick, Tommy John surgery. So if you trade him, you got, because you don't think you're going to be able to sign him in 2 years, which you may or you may not, you still got him for 2 years, who knows. Just because he says now he doesn't want to sign an extension, all of a sudden the Sox start playing better ball, they'll probably want to stay here, number one. But look what they did. Cease, they knew they were going to lose him, all right? He was going to sign. And Cease has had one great year, and he strikes out a lot of guys. But other than that, his ERA has always been above a four. So he is not an unbelievably great pitcher, okay? But they got Drew Thorpe, who looks really good, and correct me if I'm wrong, two other guys in the minors. Forget Wilson, but the two other guys they got.
They do, Mike. Yeah, they're loaded with pitching, young pitching. And I think Crochet is the point he was getting to. You keep him because you develop around him. Let's go.
You're not going to win next year.
You're not going to win next year. No, you're building towards something that is not going to happen next year necessarily. Another Mike is in Glencoe, been waiting patiently. Good morning, Mike. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning, fellas. And first of all, Sox fans can only dream about your suggestion about Terry Francona. That's a wonderful idea. But the question I have is I'm terribly confused, and I think Sox fans are, about what Getz is doing right now with the roster. I'm not sure I understand why you would bring back and allow Moncada and Eloy to play, other than it's you've got to field a team and you have a responsibility to baseball to field a team. But otherwise, I don't see what that serves. At the same time, I understand there's a narrowing gap between AA and AAA, but with memories of Gordon Beckham's call-up, I think Sox fans are concerned that we continue to rush ball players. Baldwin, I think, played 8 games in AAA after his rising from AA. And again, I worry that you got to give these guys a chance, but I worry that we're rushing him. Hmm. Help me understand all this, guys, and what Getz has in store.
It's a good question, Mike. I don't know that I had the same reaction. I was almost like, Brooks Baldwin is here. I hope that Pedro plays him. It wasn't like, boy, I worry about them rushing him. What else do you have to lose? I don't think that the risk of stunting a development is as high as maybe the potential reward in giving a guy a chance to get experience.
Again, AAA, AA, closer than they've ever been, okay? Used to be AA was where your top prospects were, and that they're getting that final polish before they get that test to go to AAA and then march to the major leagues. People aren't so sure. Again, baseball people I talked to this year, AAA, you know, Pete Crow Armstrong hit a lot better at AAA this year. He struggled here. He's improving.
Hit 2 home runs last weekend.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of pop in that bat.
He's getting better. Yeah, he better not.
PCA, hey!
Better not think he's a home run hitter.
Well, he hit 2, Bruce.
I know. Nice. But
see how fast he ran around those bases?
Yeah, he has a lot of skill. He's going to be good, but ideally, he probably should be at a minor league level playing. Yeah, it's good that he's around, because you don't have Bellinger and you have an outstanding defensive outfielder that can run and catch balls like maybe only 2 or 3 other guys in baseball.
Time for our final break. When we come back, Bruce had a conversation with Seiya Suzuki and didn't need a translator because Seiya Suzuki doesn't have one any longer. But we'll tell you what they had to say on Friday inside the Cubs clubhouse. This is Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. We'll be right back.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Infield double play death. Here's the pitch. Swing and a high deep drive. Center field. Rata back. Warning track to the wall. There she goes! A 2-run homer for Matt Shaw. Smokies strike first. That's number 11.
Thank you to the Tennessee Smokies for that bit of sound, the highlight. And thank you, Sean Sears, for finding that, making my day. Matt Shaw with home run number 11. Not quite sure how that fits in the context of the Cubs playing the Diamondbacks today, but who cares? He's a guy on the way. He could be your everyday third baseman.
It's Sears trying to promote this guy.
It is. That's okay. Everyone's got agendas. Seiya Suzuki made news this week, or his name was in the news, Bruce, because the Cubs fired his interpreter. They did so, I'm assuming, with his consent or at least awareness. I also think there are two things in play this week in terms of headlines that were related to Japanese baseball players on the Cubs. Number one, the Suzuki development. And number two, the Cubs are opening the season next March in Tokyo against the Los Angeles Dodgers, setting up a potential Shohei Ohtani versus Shota Imanaga matchup on the mound. which would be fantastic. I think it's great. I would love to be there. Hint, hint. But I think that you talked to Seiya Suzuki in the clubhouse yesterday. What did you address?
Well, we addressed a number of issues, including he was asked about the interpreter, and he said he was on the same page but with the Cubs on this. But the idea that opening up with him and Imanaga from the Cubs and Yamamoto and Otani from the Dodgers, it'll be the first time that a series opens up in Japan where the dominant stars will be looked at as Japanese. Okay, I was at the first opening day for Major League Baseball in Japan in 2000 with Cubs and Mets. It was a big deal. It was huge. And the Japanese people are unbelievable. The cities are unbelievable. It was a tremendous experience, and it's continued to be that for Major League Baseball opening day there. But now you have dominant stars that are becoming a part of it, and it'll be the big story there more than Major League Baseball opening up the season in Japan, these four stars being a part of it.
It is a big deal, and it is part of the reason, I think, why they picked the Cubs and the Dodgers, because of that connection.
I'll ask you the same question I asked Suzuki yesterday.
Okay.
Hope I get a better answer. Do you think Japanese baseball now shows that they are closer to the quality of Major League Baseball because of the stars that we're starting to see come over here? And more importantly, offensive stars like Suzuki and Otani, who are, you know, Otani probably the best player in baseball, argument, you know, maybe between him and you know, the Yankees star. But the reality is it used to be mostly pitchers. Now you're seeing both coming from Japan and being not only equal, but can be dominant in Major League Baseball.
The answer is yes, clearly yes, because you're saying it's making progress. To suggest that it is better than the Major League Baseball product, I think, would be going a step too far. I'm more interested not in my assessment of Japanese baseball compared to Major League Baseball, because I'm not an expert, despite my five-day stint following Sadahara O around Fukuoka, which was fun back in the day. But I'm not an expert on Japanese baseball, Bruce. What did Seiya Suzuki say to that question?
No comment. He took the political way, and he's a really smart guy. I think that was the right answer, because if he said yes, and again, he was using a translator. Okay,
he was.
So when you're asked a question like that that can be highly sensitive to two different countries, You better
that's
watch
smart.
Out. You better watch out what you say.
Yeah, that's smart.
It was the right answer. Didn't help me very much other than our 5-minute segment that we have left.
It reflects also a respect level that Seiya Suzuki and many Japanese players have for discourse, for their employers, for the game itself. I think that it's interesting but unsurprising that Seiya Suzuki would take that approach and be very careful with the words he chose so he didn't offend anybody, because you want to show respect, not disrespect, and that answer allows him to do that.
I believe with Otani and with Suzuki, we'll have to see on the others, that they came here with a high tool set and they've gotten better with some of the technology and teaching here as well.
Well, I think that if Seiya Suzuki catches every fly ball the rest of the season, I'll be happy with that technology, and I'll be convinced that it made a difference.
Or he doesn't throw behind a runner.
Okay, maybe that too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be complimentary here and respectful, Bruce. Let me ask you this. 773 says something very compelling. I want to know how you would describe it. Laying someone off and firing them are two very different things. Be careful with your choice of words. So I said the Cubs fired Seiya Suzuki's interpreter. Maybe that's the wrong term. The AP story, Associated Press, says they dismissed the interpreter. How would you, what verb would you choose?
Laying off. Laying off is, you know, there's a chance we'll bring you back in 2 months. Okay. When we have more money or when a better job opens up for you. So he was fired.
Firing suggests he did something wrong to deserve the firing.
Okay. All right. So the texter is right. We have to be careful about how we phrase it.
We have to choose our words carefully.
We don't know for sure.
We have to go full Seiya Suzuki so we're not disrespecting anybody.
We don't know for sure and probably won't know for sure why this move was made.
Well, I hope we find out at some point. I hope somebody gets to the bottom of it.
It's really so unimportant to me. You have no idea.
I just want him to catch every fly ball and continue to hit with a little power and pop. Not the interpreter.
Oh.
I really don't care who the interpreter is either, if I'm honest. The Cubs back in action tonight. Pre-game coverage right here on the Score 540. First pitch 6:15 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. White Sox back in action today. And you know what's happening Tuesday? Tuesday afternoon. Get this. Parkins and Spiegel doing something they've never done before. Broadcasting live on Wrigley Field. Parkins and Spiegel will be doing their show 2 to 6, joined by Nico Horner, the regular, Craig Counsell, their regular, and other special guests before Cubs versus Brewers. Tune in Tuesday, starting at 2 o'clock right here on the Score and the free Odyssey
app.
That's
great. I'm looking forward to that.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Who's going to protect? Is Shane going to be shagging in front of the setup there so no batting practice balls stray?
I heard it was Bruce and Zach Zaidman. That's what I thought.
Leave Zach out of this. Zach's busy enough. He's doing everything.
Come on. He can jump it for a sec. Come on.
Zach's doing everything. Anyway, Bruce, this was a lot of fun. We have a lot of people to thank.
We do indeed, including Bob Nightingale, our guest from USA, talking a lot about moves for the White Sox and Cubs. Sean Sears, our producer, for a job well done as usual. David, thank you for always leading us and putting us in the right direction for our arguments every Saturday. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB. That's X now. MLB Bruce Levine. Our website, 670thescore.com. We're right.
You can't believe and understand how hard it was to keep you away from Bears talk today. I mean, it was really hard. The Bears have begun at Halas Hall. Practice today, everybody. Steve Rosenblum is next. Thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
They got the hustle. Yeah. They got the muscle. Yeah. The Chicago Cubs are on their way.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. The Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
I'm happy to be a White Sox. I just continue to make good starts for them until I'm told otherwise.
Is that on your mind at all? Is you're kind of here seeing the other talents or hearing things or anything like that as you play through the rest of the month?
No, not necessarily. It's something I'm aware of for sure, but I can't focus on it right now because that's not where I am.
Every year you probably get a better hand on it. Like the way that you just describe what you're going through now is good. But when you're maybe first year or a minor leaguer, it's probably tough, right?
Yeah, definitely. I remember my first year we traded Hoyer and Magical, who were both good buddies of mine, for Kimbrel at the deadline. And yeah, that was a tough thing to accept for sure. But at the same time, everyone always says it's a business. It's just something that, you got to get over and move on.
Garrett Crochet on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast talking about the trade speculation surrounding him. Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse on a beautiful Saturday morning in Chicago. David Haw, Bruce Levine until
easy for you to say.
11 o'clock here on The Score. Time now to go out to The Score hotline sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois. Download the Circus Sports app today where we find our friend from USA Today, Bob Nightingale. Good morning, Bob.
Morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Waiting for the next 10 days, anxiously to see what the White Sox will do and when they will start. Chris Getz has a big job ahead, a lot of interest in many players, starting with Garrett Crochet. We heard him at the All-Star game, Bob. I just wonder, as we sit here this morning, we know how many teams could be interested. Realistically, how many teams are?
I mean, I would think even when it goes to the final few days, you're still talking about 8 or 10 teams that will make serious offers. I mean, bottom line is everybody wants this guy because he's not making money. You get him for 2 more years, and obviously having an unbelievable season, so you're hoping he can do the same thing for the next 2 years. So no, I mean, he's the number one trade guy on the board. I don't think he's even a close second, providing Tarek Skubal isn't available.
Bob, when you talk about packages, so David and I spent an early portion of our show talking about the fact that the White Sox can trade him to somebody else in the offseason as well, and still the other team has 2 years left, and proof that he got through this season and got 150 innings in, and that there's more reliability moving forward. Where do you think the White Sox get more back, at this trade deadline here or in the offseason?
I think more at the deadline, because some teams are saying, we can certainly use this guy in the bullpen in October, and we'll see how many starts he can make. And bottom line is, even Crochet said this at the All-Star break, is that, who knows? Maybe I could throw 200 innings and be fine. You just don't know how that's going to work. But I think teams are looking, everybody needs a reliever in October. Those guys are more viable than the starters. So I think teams like the Yankees are saying, we really want this guy, pitching in late inning relief for us.
Is it more realistic to expect a team to trade for Crochet to use him in that role? I think when we look at his emergence this year, many of us in Chicago, Bob, have been surprised at just how good he has been as a starter every fifth day because he had never done it before. So I wonder, is that the appeal, that he's a good starting pitcher that you can count on in September, or is it more appealing to use him in a variety of ways out of the bullpen?
And probably in a variety of ways. I mean, you can start him, you know, maybe up until September. You know, I know he'd like to have a contract extension or whoever acquires him. That way he doesn't have to worry about an injury. I mean, there's already a plan in place with the White Sox and Crochet's people, you know, as far as limiting, you know, severely limiting his innings the second half. And so I would think when he gets traded, you know, he's going to ask that team to do the same thing, you know, respect his arm, you know, a little bit like a Josh Hader thing when Hader wasn't making, you know, big money. And he says, hey, I'm not pitching, you know, multiple innings for you anymore. I'm just, you know, one inning and out. So if Crochet wants, you know, he can do the same type of thing and say, okay, I got this many innings left on my arm. You use me how you want.
Just about every rumor mill, every expert in baseball, we're hearing about the pitching available, and very few, if any, hitters that are going to be available of any significance during up until the deadline. Could Luis Robert be that surprise guy? We know about people's hesitation to take on the 3 years of his contract because of the fact that he's been injured twice. But is that upside worth the gamble for some teams in a market in particular that lacks impact hitters available?
No, you're right. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I was thinking he was not going to be traded. I don't think they were getting much interest. But not just like you said, Bruce, with the scarcity of the market, now interest is a lot higher than I think even the White Sox imagine. And they would like to load that contract too. So I do think he'll get moved now. I think they'll get, you know, more than they think. If they're not, you can always keep him. You know, a little bit different than Bellinger, where I think Bellinger's contract scares people. Like, well, you know, if he doesn't opt out, do we really want to get stuck with $54 million over 2 years? So, you know, a little different than Robert. It's like, okay, you know, we'll pay that money and hopefully stays healthy, but it's still a hindrance. I think that's why the White Sox want to move him so much, just because of that money left in the books.
We're talking with Bob Nightingale from USA Today here and Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So, Bob, the All-Star game everybody saw, Mason Miller hit 103 on the radar gun. Goodness sakes. And I wonder how many teams were like, yeah, I want one of those. And I think the A's are like, well, yeah, good luck meeting our price. Is there a price? Is he being shopped? And if so, how expensive would Mason Miller be, just asking for a friend who might work for the Cubs?
Yeah, I think too expensive. I mean, they're asking for the moon for him, so that, you know, they don't expect to trade him. I mean, they have to take just a ton of top 10 prospects to move a guy like that. But, you know, I mean, the A's will listen. You know, it's almost like when Kevin Towers was a GM of the Padres, he says, hey, you make offers for Tony Gwynn, make offers for Trevor Hoffman. I'll listen. If I won't move him, but it'd be stupid not to listen. And I think that's what the A's, they're doing that same approach.
So 3 weeks ago, Bob, it was, I was talking to scout friends, some executives. They said the Cubs are definitely sellers, okay? They went on a little run. They got back some of their credibility a little closer to the wild card pack. What do you hear now? Cubs sellers or buyers? And if they are sellers, who is available at this point?
I think they don't make decisions in like the last 72 hours, you know, what to do. 72 hours before July 30th, I think they're probably leaning towards sellers. You know, I would think certainly Jameson Taillon would be perfect. And then, you know, then you see what people will offer for Bellinger and some of those guys. But I don't think they've made their mind up yet. It's so much mediocrity in the National League. It's kind of silly to give up. And everybody looks at what happened last year with the Diamondbacks. You know, you barely squeak in the playoffs. Next thing you know, you're in the World Series.
Danny Jansen would be a rental at the catching position that the Cubs really need some help at. You mentioned him as a possibility. What would it take to get somebody like that?
I don't think, you know, that much. You know, maybe certainly a top 15 prospect. Maybe top 10. But I don't think that much for him. It's just it's not like he's a premier guy. You know, nice catcher. So, if they want to do that, It's not, you know, not like you're breaking up your farm system by any means.
So I'm hearing the same thing on Diaz from Colorado. Are you, is he going to get moved here? Is it going to take a top 10 prospect for Diaz, who will be a free agent as well?
I would think maybe two of the top 20. No, I wouldn't say anybody in the top 10. Just, you know, his expiring contract, you know, good, solid player. But, you know, too, you're talking about a guy who was hitting at Coors Field. Now you're bringing him a different environment. So a great, terrific guy, beloved by the pitchers there and in the coaching staff. So that would be a great pickup for a short-term rental. And, you know, if you like him enough, you'll go ahead and extend him. But, yeah, he's a really, really well-liked in that clubhouse.
Bob, Chris Guest has not had the job as general manager of the White Sox for an entire calendar year yet. And the next 10 days will dictate how his next year goes. Big time for the young White Sox general manager, first time on the job. If I said four was the number of players, would you say over or under? That is how would you take the over or under in terms of how many players the White Sox will deal between now and July 30th?
I would say over. I think, you know, they can move out everybody if they want. But no, I would be surprised if it's under that for sure. I mean, you get the most obviously with Crochet and Fetty. You know, throw in Robert Street right there. They're going to move, Pham and DeYoung, you know, it's five, and then be more guys than that. So, no, I think you'll have a lot of guys move from that team.
That's a shuttle. That's a South Side shuttle somewhere. that's a lot of players.
Bob, you were at the All-Star game. The commissioner talked. The most important thing I think he talked about was Major League Baseball trying to gather all their local broadcasts and come up with a streaming plan that they can monetize for baseball, maybe much like the NFL. Was he encouraged? Were you encouraged by that ability? Because this is the biggest issue in baseball moving toward the next collective bargaining agreement as to whether or not there'll be a long strike and whether or not the economics in baseball between players and owners changes dramatically.
I think he thinks he'd get, you know, maybe 20 teams, low 20s under that umbrella. But, you know, I don't think there'll ever be a time where you can say, okay, you know, Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, you know, maybe throw the Cubs in that group, that, okay, you're going to share the same money as a, you know, Milwaukee Brewers or Colorado Rockies, that sort of thing. So I can't see the big boys saying, hey, I'll share equal rights, you know, like they do with the, with the website, MLB.com. But I think it'll be around 20 teams at least agree to that.
But doesn't this go back to the revenue sharing premise that Bud Selig came up with 25 years ago? The fact that, you know, if there aren't enough revenues for the Kansas City broadcast or the Oakland broadcast or the Vegas broadcast at that time, you'll run out of partners. Those teams will cease to be able to function on the same level. Is there an argument to be made in that area?
Well, there is, you know, and we saw that this offseason where, Minnesota Twins cut back because they knew they're going to have TV problems. Even the Texas Rangers, who had, you know, spent wildly over the years, you know, they watched their budget because they weren't going to have a TV thing. Potteries now are, you know, staying under the luxury tax because of that. But yeah, I mean, that's a problem. But of course, you know, hey, you bought those teams for low money, and you know you're not paying like they did for the Dodgers and the Red Sox in recent years.
Before we let you go, Bob, David Ross's name came up because John Lester's in town doing some work for Marquee, and obviously their connection historically in Chicago is tight forever. David Ross, as a manager this season, he's not working. He's getting paid by the Cubs, probably having a very stress-free summer. Next year, do you think that David Ross will be in a dugout somewhere as a manager?
I do. I know it's kind of been joked around and stuff. I think the fact that they, you know, Cubs are under 500, you know, with Craig Counsell, it's like, you know, so it's almost saying, hey, this is not the manager's fault. It's not like, hey, they went crazy and the 30 games above 500, now David Ross is gone. If anything, I actually think it it helps his resume. I think it's going to be easier for him to get a job in the off season because people say, you know, see what happened to Cubs. It's not Dave Ross, it was not David Ross's fault.
How about David Ross to the Red Sox and Alex Cora to the Rangers after Bochy retires after this season?
Yeah, I don't know where Cora will end up. I mean, he's maybe the hot commodity. And so I think a lot of teams are going to look and say, okay, you know, can we fit him in? Are we going to fire a guy, you know, just like the Cubs did? You know, it's a cutthroat business. But I think he manages next year somewhere. I'm not sure he's going to wait for Bochy. You don't know if you're waiting for, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years type of thing. So, but that being said, I'm not sure where he's going. But I'd be stunned right now, you know, if he stays in Boston, unless they come up with a, you know, a big time offer and also tell him that, hey, we're going to really try to win here and spend money. Because right now he told the Red Sox, hey, I don't want to talk about a deal, just like Council did, you know, with the Brewers.
Bob, your Sunday notes columns are must read in Chicago. What's tomorrow's going to have?
Probably just storylines in the second half. You know, talking about every time with the, you know, trade deadline and, you know, what to expect. It'll be interesting. I mean, you know, the Dodgers, you know, all that money they spent, it looked like the same team as the past. It's like, are they really going to get out of the first round? I mean, they got all these pitching problems. You know, Yankees look like the best team in baseball. No, they're not. You know, Philadelphia now has bullpen problems. So I think with the Diamondbacks did last year and the Texas Rangers, it gives everybody hope, like, just get in the playoffs, anything crazy can happen.
Great stuff, Bob. Appreciate your time. Keep up the great work. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Enjoy Cooperstown this weekend. Say hi to all our friends, okay?
I will. Thanks, Bruce. See you, David.
Bob Nightingale from USA Today, as plugged in as anybody on the Chicago baseball scene, because he gets stuff and information. And Bruce, I think that a lot of people heard him say very quickly, more than four players could be leaving the White Sox in the next 10 days. And that would create a lot of headlines, a lot of activity, and I think it would...
And a lot of new players for the Chicago
White Sox. A lot of new players. They need them. They do need them.
I think the one thing about trades for a team that's like moving their players, I think we in the media fan bases forget you're getting guys back.
Mm-hmm.
They might be good. A guy like Thorpe, he's a pretty good looking player.
He looks the part.
Last year when the White Sox made a trade before Kenny and Rick left, they got Corey Lee. Looks like a pretty good catcher. Okay, got a future ahead of him. So, be optimistic about guys that can come in here and make a change in your team.
How active do you think the White Sox will be? 312-644-6767. How long will Jameson Taillon be in the Cubs rotation? Bruce says that there are teams interested in him, the Yankees and the Red Sox among them. Also, we need to get to this, Bruce, when we come back. Alex Cora going to be a free agent. You want to get Bruce Bochy out the door, and you want to put Alex Cora in Texas. He's going to be sought by many teams ready to win. The White Sox aren't one of those teams ready to win, but why not Chicago? Why not the Sox if you have a free agent manager of that caliber? We'll talk about it next. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Guys, he certainly doesn't want to trade. One is Luis Robert. The other is Garrett Crochet, not necessarily in that order. But if you overwhelm them with something, then you have to listen to it. You have to entertain that idea if you want to make your club better. That being said, I don't think that they're going to trade Crochet.
Steve Stone, a couple weeks ago with the Mullin Haw Show. Good guys in that morning show, 5:30 to 10 every day right here on The Score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine here until 11 talking baseball. Garrett Crochet will be the object of a lot of conversation and speculation before the trade deadline on July 30th already has, Bruce. Before we get to some of the details, you raised an interesting point during the break. Do fans get fed up and tired of hearing one rumor after another, especially if we get to July 31st and, oh, look, there's Garrett Crochet still in a White Sox uniform?
Well, it's a credibility factor. I still hear from people saying, hey, you remember when you said, you know, the Cubs were going to trade Sean Dunston or, you know, some some things like that. And it's like, I'm always very cognizant of anything I report because I do feel there's a responsibility to be right. You have to be right in your reporting that they're talking about it, okay? You can't just throw it against the wall. I think there's a lot of things thrown against the wall at this point in time. Again, when Ohtani was on an airplane going to Toronto in the winter, I wasn't upset with the reporter as much as I was upset about people will continue to question our credibility as reporters for something as erroneous and as big news as that wasn't.
It is murky, and yeah, it is difficult, as it ever has been, to trust information because of all the skepticism. And so, but there's a difference between questioning the information and disagreeing with an opinion. We welcome the disagreement, the conversation, the debate. That's the fun stuff. That's why we're here. Like we're getting on the text line, while we're getting to callers, and also on Twitter, or X, as they say. Haw is sounding like a homer, I'm told. He needs to accept that the Cubs are not good this year, and they should sell. A soft buy doesn't do anything for them.
Doesn't sound like a Cub fan.
Doesn't sound like a Cub fan.
No.
Sounds like a Sox fan. Let me have it. That's fine. All right, speaking of the Sox, before we get to some of the trade possibilities, Alex Cora from the Red Sox, as we heard from Bob Nightingale, probably going to be a free agent manager, unlikely to go back to Boston. I asked the question because we are in Chicago. This is a Chicago baseball show. The Cubs don't need a manager. The White Sox could and likely will. Is it realistic to think that Alex Cora could be the object of the White Sox pursuit in the offseason?
Did you say Terry Francona?
No, but I love that speculation. That would be cool.
I'll start our own, okay? Right. Terry Francona is sitting at home in Tucson, Arizona, wondering, can he continue his career? He's had a lot of health issues. He's a Hall of Fame manager in 5 years from now if he doesn't manage again. Mm-hmm. A great connection with the White Sox from the 90s when he started his career after he retired as a player and became part of the White Sox minor league organization.
South Bend White Sox at the time.
Managed a pretty famous basketball player at Birmingham.
Yeah. Number 23, Jordan. I believe. Yeah.
He would be a perfect match, I think, for the White Sox because his history of development with the Indians was yearly. Every single year it was, the Indians aren't going to compete this year. They didn't spend any money. They don't have any big-name players. They don't have much offense. They continue to promote pitchers, but they're not going to. And every year, Terry Francona brought in a team that was in the playoffs or—
Always found a way.
Over 500.
Always found a way. He was definitely a guy that found a way. All right.
So, again, will Cora come here? I think they would listen. I think they want to listen to and see the plan. I don't think any manager wants to go somewhere and understand that for 3 years they might be in a rebuild. But somebody with the history and the
gravitas
is the right word, of a Francona or a Cora, they might have a different idea about how to
look
at it.
So Chris Getz is busy. He's got the trades to make. He's got more than four players to move. We'll come up with his short list now because Pedro Grifol likely will be ex-manager Pedro Grifol, I would think, after the season. So my short list would be Francona, Alex Cora, Skip Schumacher. And that would be, as I would think that the White Sox would be smart to start there. Would they pay each of those managers whatever they would have to pay to get them to come to the South Side?
Great question. I'll throw in Leland.
Which one?
Patrick Leland.
Yeah, there we go.
The son of
I knew what you were doing there,
Jim
Bruce.
Leland,
you know what? I know you get up early, but so do I. So do I.
Patrick Leland is a well-thought-of minor league manager in the Chicago White Sox system, somebody that people should keep their eye on, not because he's Jim Leland's son, mm-hmm. but he's considered a top baseball man that's been with the White Sox for a while. So which way do you want to go? Do you want a veteran manager, David, who's won before, which sounds really important to run your team? Or do you want a young guy that's grown with these players once they get to the major league level?
It's the right way to frame it. I want credibility and respectability and the gravitas that you have to pay for. I also wonder this before we get to the phone lines, Bruce. What effect will the Cubs paying $8 million a year for Craig Counsell if they miss the playoffs? What effect could that have on the managerial market and what Alex Cora can be in a position to command? Because a lot of people will look at, hey, look at the Cubs. They spent $40 million on a guy in investment and they didn't even make the playoffs.
True. I mean, if you want to generalize, that's what they're going to say. But on the other hand, it's not over till it's over.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, I mean.
So who's the homer now?
I think, here's what I think of Craig Counsell. The first month of the season when the Cubs were teetering with Milwaukee up and back at first place, there were many games that I looked at and I would text Coombe or I would text Zach Zaidman and I go, how did the Cubs win that game? Okay. So I think his managing has had an impact. I think the Cubs, in essence, have been much worse than the actual record is.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And it's a hard thing to say.
Yeah, they have really stunk. They've been disappointing. There's no way around it.
And so other than starting pitching, there's nothing that's been right about the Chicago Cubs most of the year. Some of the bullpen guys were really good early on before they started to get hurt. The hitting has been awful all the way around the entire season. There's other than Hap getting really hot and winning some games with three-run homers, hasn't been anybody that's really carried the Cubs or said, jump on my back, you know, let's go. Up until recent, like, three-week push where, as we talked about, the guys started to get better. But been a huge disappointment.
Back in action tonight, Cubs, Diamondbacks, Kyle Hendricks on the mound, continuing that series from Wrigley. The Score will have the only local broadcast of the game, pregame coverage right here, 5:40, with Zach setting the scene. First pitch, 6:15 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Let's go out to the Score listener line powered by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Mike is in Northbrook. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, called to talk about the Sox trade thing. But a little thing, don't the Cubs this year kind of remind you of the 2022 White Sox who were supposed to win their division and were very disappointing and mediocre and were falling apart and were actually hanging around until a series at Sox Park late in August where Cleveland beat them, like, I think 3 out of 4. And then ever since that point, everything's been downhill. But this Cup team kind of reminds me of that a little bit. You know, like, they went into the season, looked great, supposed to win the division, and a lot of disappointment. But anyhow, getting back to the Sox trade thing, okay, so here's the deal, you know, the Crochet thing. Okay, the guy's a hell of a good-looking pitcher. He's looked really great for 3.5 months. He's 24, top-round draft pick, Tommy John surgery. So if you trade him, you got, because you don't think you're going to be able to sign him in 2 years, which you may or you may not, you still got him for 2 years, who knows. Just because he says now he doesn't want to sign an extension, all of a sudden the Sox start playing better ball, they'll probably want to stay here, number one. But like, look what they did, Cease, they knew they were going to lose him, all right? He's going to sign. And Cease has had one great year, and he strikes out a lot of guys. But other than that, his ERA's always been above a 4. So he is not a unbelievably great pitcher, okay? But they got Drew Thorpe, who looks really good. And correct me if I'm wrong, two other guys in the minors, forget Wilson, but the two other guys they got.
They do, Mike. Yeah, they're loaded with pitching, young pitching. And I think Crochet is the point he was getting to. You keep him because you develop around him. Let's go.
You're not going to win next year.
You're not going to win next year. No, you're building towards something that is not going to happen next year necessarily. Another Mike is in Glencoe, been waiting patiently. Good morning, Mike. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning, fellas. And first of all, Sox fans can only dream about your suggestion about Terry Francona. That's a wonderful idea. But the question I have is, I'm terribly confused, and I think Sox fans are, about what Getz is doing right now with the roster. I'm not sure I understand why you would bring back and allow Moncada and Eloy to play, other than it's, you've got to field a team and you have a responsibility to baseball to field a team. But otherwise, I don't see what that serves. At the same time, I understand there's a narrowing gap between AA and AAA, but with memories of Gordon Beckham's call up, I think Sox fans are concerned that we continue to rush ball players. Baldwin, I think, played 8 games in AAA after his rising from AA. And again, I worry that we're you got to give these guys a chance, but I worry that we're rushing him. Help me understand all this, guys, and what Getz has in store.
It's a good question, Mike. I don't know that I had the same reaction. I was almost like, Brooks Baldwin is here. I hope that Pedro plays him. It wasn't like, boy, I worry about them rushing him. What else do you have to lose? I don't think that the risk of stunting a development is as high as maybe the potential reward in giving a guy a chance to get experience.
Again, AAA, AA, closer than they've ever been, okay? Used to be AA was where your top prospects were and that they're getting that final polish before they get that test to go to AAA and then march to the major leagues. People aren't so sure. Again, baseball people I talked to this year, AAA, you know, Pete Crow Armstrong hit a lot better at AAA this year. He struggled here. He's improving.
Hit 2 home runs last weekend.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of pop in that bat.
He's getting better. Yeah, he better not.
PCA, hey!
Better not think he's a home run hitter.
Well, he hit 2, Bruce.
I know. Nice. But
see how fast he ran around those bases?
Yeah, he has a lot of skill. He's going to be good, but ideally, he probably should be at a minor league level playing. Yeah, it's good that he's around because you don't have Bellinger and you have an outstanding defensive outfielder that can run and catch balls like maybe only 2 or 3 other guys in baseball.
Time for our final break. When we come back, Bruce had a conversation with Seiya Suzuki and didn't need a translator because Seiya Suzuki doesn't have one any longer. But we'll tell you what they had to say on Friday inside the Cubs clubhouse. This is Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. We'll be right back.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Infield double play death. Here's the pitch. Swing and a high deep drive. Center field. Rata back. Warning track to the wall. There she goes! A 2-run homer for Matt Shaw. Smokies strike first. That's number 11.
Thank you to the Tennessee Smokies for that bit of sound, the highlight. And thank you, Sean Sears, for finding that, making my day. Matt Shaw with home run number 11. Not quite sure how that fits in the context of the Cubs playing the Diamondbacks today, but who cares? He's a guy on the way. He could be your everyday third baseman.
It's Sears trying to promote this guy.
I know. It is. That's okay. Everyone's got agendas. Seiya Suzuki made news this week, or his name was in the news, Bruce, because the Cubs fired his interpreter. They did so, I'm assuming, with his consent or at least awareness. I also think there are two things in play this week in terms of headlines that were related to Japanese baseball players on the Cubs. Number one, the Suzuki development. And number two, the Cubs are opening the season next March in Tokyo against the Los Angeles Dodgers, setting up a potential Shohei Ohtani versus Shota Imanaga matchup on the mound, which would be fantastic. I think it's great. I would love to be there. Hint, hint. But I think that you talked to Seiya Suzuki in the clubhouse yesterday. What did you address?
Well, we addressed a number of issues, including he was asked about the interpreter, and he said he was on the same page but with the Cubs on this. But the idea that opening up with him and Imanaga from the Cubs and Yamamoto and Ohtani from the Dodgers, it'll be the first time that a series opens up in Japan where the dominant stars will be looked at as Japanese. Okay, I was at the first opening day for Major League Baseball in Japan in 2000 with Cubs and Mets. It was a big deal. It was huge. And the Japanese people are unbelievable. The cities are unbelievable. It was a tremendous experience, and it's continued to be that for Major League Baseball opening day there. But now you have dominant stars that are becoming a part of it, and it'll be the big story there more than Major League Baseball opening up the season in Japan. These four stars being a part of it.
It is a big deal, and it is part of the reason I think why they picked the Cubs and the Dodgers, because of that connection.
I'll ask you the same question I asked Suzuki yesterday.
Okay.
Hope I get a better answer. Do you think Japanese baseball now shows that they are closer to the quality of Major League Baseball because of the stars that we're starting to see come over here? And more importantly, offensive stars like Suzuki and Ohtani, who are, you know, Ohtani probably the best player in baseball, argument, you know, maybe between him and, you know, the Yankees star. But the reality is it used to be mostly pitchers. Now you're seeing both coming from Japan and being not only equal, but can be dominant in Major League Baseball.
The answer is yes, clearly yes, because you're saying it's making progress. To suggest that it is better than the Major League Baseball product, I think, would be going a step too far. I'm more interested not in my assessment of Japanese baseball compared to Major League Baseball, because I'm not an expert, despite my five-day stint following Sadahara Oh around Fukuoka, which was fun back in the day. But I'm not an expert on Japanese baseball, Bruce. What did Seiya Suzuki say to that question?
No comment. He took the political way, and he's a really smart guy. I think that was the right answer, because if he said yes, and again, he was using a translator.
Okay,
so when you're asked a question like that that can be highly sensitive to two different countries, you better
that's
watch
smart.
Out. You better watch out what you say.
Yeah, that's smart.
It was the right answer. Didn't help me very much other than our five-minute segment that we have left.
It reflects also a respect level that Seiya Suzuki and many Japanese players have for discourse, for their employers, for the game itself. I think that it's interesting but unsurprising that Seiya Suzuki would take that approach and be very careful with the words he chose so he didn't offend anybody. Because you want to show respect, not disrespect, and that answer allows him to do that.
I believe with Ohtani and with Suzuki, we'll have to see on the others, that they came here with a high tool set and they've gotten better with some of the technology and teaching here as well.
Well, I think that if Seiya Suzuki catches every fly ball the rest of the season, I'll be happy with that technology, and I'll be convinced that it made a difference.
Or he doesn't throw behind a runner.
Okay, maybe that too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be complimentary here and respectful, Bruce. Let me ask you this. 773 says something very compelling. I want to know how you would describe it. Laying someone off and firing them are two very different things. Be careful with your choice of words. So I said the Cubs fired Seiya Suzuki's interpreter. Maybe that's the wrong term. The AP story, Associated Press, says they dismissed the interpreter. How would you, what verb would you choose?
It's not laying off. Laying off is, you know, there's a chance we'll bring you back in 2 months,
okay?
When we have more money or when a better job opens up for you. So he was fired.
Firing suggests he did something wrong to deserve the firing.
Okay, all right. So the texter is right. We have to be careful about how we phrase it.
We have to choose our words carefully.
We don't know for sure.
We have to go full Seiya Suzuki so we're not disrespecting anybody.
We don't know for sure and probably won't know for sure why this move was made.
Well, I hope we find out at some point. I hope somebody gets to the bottom of it.
It's really so unimportant to me. You have no idea.
I just want him to catch every fly ball and continue to hit with a little power and pop. Not the interpreter.
Oh.
I really don't care who the interpreter is either, if I'm honest. The Cubs back in action tonight. Pre-game coverage right here on the Score 540. First pitch 6:15 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. White Sox back in action today. And you know what's happening Tuesday? Tuesday afternoon, get this. Parkins and Spiegel doing something they've never done before, broadcasting live on Wrigley Field. Parkinson Spiegel will be doing their show 2 to 6, joined by Nico Horner, the regular, Craig Council, their regular, and other special guests before Cubs versus Brewers. Tune in Tuesday starting at 2 o'clock right here on the Score and the free Odyssey
app. That's great. I'm looking forward to that.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Who's going to protect? Is Shane going to be shagging in front of the setup there so no batting practice balls stray?
I heard it was Bruce and Zach Zaidman. That's what I thought.
Leave Zach out of this. Zach's busy enough. He's doing everything.
Yeah, come on. He can jump it for a sec. Come on.
Zach's doing everything. Anyway, Bruce, this was a lot of fun. We have a lot of people to thank.
We do indeed, including Bob Nightingale, our guest from USA, talking a lot about moves for the White Sox and Cubs. Sean Sears, our producer, for a job well done as usual. David, thank you for always leading us and putting us in the right direction for our arguments every Saturday. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB. That's X now. MLB Bruce Levine. My website, 670thescore.com, where I write Cubs and Sox.
You can't believe and understand how hard it was to keep you away from Bears talk today. I mean, it was really hard. The Bears have begun at House Hall. Practice today, everybody. Steve Rosenblum is next. Thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
They got the hustle. Yeah. They got the muscle. Yeah. The Chicago Cubs are on their way.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.